30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews, The Backlog Files. I am Adam on this reasonably sunny, reasonably warm August Saturday. So what we got is another look back at the Nickelodeon back catalog of games from the early 2000s. We previously talked about Breaking Da Rules from Fairly Odd Parents. And we're going to talk about today SpongeBob Revenge of the Flying Dutchman, which is not the best SpongeBob game of this time frame. I would say even the, you know, I think Battle for Bikini Bottom was a few years after this, but I think it would still be early 2000s, if not mid-2000s, but it was right before the crash of the licensed game market. This is the first time that they had attempted to put SpongeBob into a 3D environment, and I think that it translated reasonably well. And I think that looking at this game for what it is, this game is very easy. It's almost too easy, as you're playing it. But I think that for, like, you can see the beginnings of where Battle for Bikini Bottom would, what it would become. And it's a pretty clear, like, you know, A to B about what this was to what it would become. Despite the fact that I think it was THQ, but I think it was a different studio who did the actual development. Because it is open world in the same way. And the costume changes do give you a variety of abilities that are kind of similar to the base game, like kind of similar to Battle for Bikini Bottom, where you have the character swap, you have a costume swap here. I don't think they do nearly enough with the costumes to make them, like, I think that the Mermaid Man costume is borderline pointless in this game. I like, there are two missions, I think, that use it, but that's it. I think that's basically it. The leaf blower is also a fun one. But that takes a while to get into. And I think, too, it's like, when you look around, it's like, some of the environments are, you know, kind of small. And then some are just unruly big, where it's like, you know, and maybe as a child, I had more trouble with the game than I did playing it now. I played through the entire game in one sitting late night, and I think that it's kind of just one of those things where it's like, the gameplay is pretty simple, and I think that the gameplay is, you know, I think the combat is kind of where I have the most issue with the game. The combat isn't great, especially considering how much of the game is the combat system. Like, when you do the battle against, you know, Sandy, you do it a few times in the game, you have to smash up a bunch of stuff. But there are times where it's like I'm hitting it head on, and it's just not breaking, or I'm doing the throttle thing around the room, and it's just not hitting. And if you're in a situation where you got to fight a clown or a goon or something like that, or like a greaser fish or something like that, you're kind of in a situation where it's like you gotta hit it multiple times. The game doesn't articulate that, and almost always you end up trading hits, which is never a fun combat system, unless you jump back and hang back, but at that point you're like, why am I bothering with this? There are a number of questionable things like that in the game, and then, like, some of the hints, like, there's one hint in particular that's like, this is really poorly laid out, where it's like, catch plankton if you can, which is in the Chum World level, you have to catch plankton, but it doesn't articulate that you have, that it's literally a time-gated thing, or progression-gated thing, where you can't do that until you beat Goo Lagoon, like, that's a key piece of information that's kind of just omitted. And it would have been helpful to have that. Yeah, and like, there are things that used to bother me more when I was a kid because it was just time. Like, and that's the thing, too, is that some of the things are just time-consuming, where it's, like, the missions for Mr. Krabs to deliver the food, you move incredibly slow unless you're jumping the entire way. There, it's just there to pad out the runtime of the game. Instead of it being exploration-based, which some of the missions in that area are, you're just kind of, you know, doing fetch quests, and it's kind of silly. When you get to, like, to get the reef blower, you have to get 100 jellyfish across all the levels, which is not quite as easy as it seems. It just takes a lot of time to do it. The same goes for getting another 50 after that to unlock Goo Lagoon. And it's like, well, now we're just wasting time. And there's too much of these things are just, we are going to pad out the runtime and by giving you, like, silly little quests like that, like the doubloons, collecting the doubloons to progress, collecting, catching jellyfish to get the letter cards, and then hunting down the, what's it called, hunting down the treasures when you get to the dowsing levels is way too easy, at times. And it's like, they show a picture of where it is, so it's like, if you know the level, like, oh, I know where that is. Like, the most ridiculous one was the, what's it called, was the one in downtown, where at that point I'm like, okay, so I know, you know, like, to get it, you have to get the reef blower, and then go back to the level and do a mission for Sandy, and it's like, alright, great, that mission takes so much time because it's so annoying to move the garbage piles around, and it's just, again, time-consuming to do it. But then by the time you do it, you get the thing, and you complete the puzzle, which is another easy puzzle, and then it shows you the picture of where it is. You're like, oh, okay, that's in the construction area, easy enough, and then you go get it, and then you're done. The voice acting is entertaining, at least. I'll give it that. The voice acting is well-executed enough where it is fun to, you know, it is fun to watch. But there is plenty to there's plenty to enjoy in the game. And if you consider this game a first try for a game like Battle for Bikini Bottom. Why did I say Super Smash Brothers? Because I was thinking Super Sponge, and I'm like, no, that's not right. If you consider it that way, then you will have a lot more fun with this game than otherwise. Because I think that the issue is, you will inherently run into the issue of, well, why am I, like, you know, what's the point of this? As a historical artifact, this game has value, I think. And to that end, this is a pretty fun, you know, this is a pretty fun game. And it's not available, they didn't remake it. It hasn't been remade by THQ. It probably won't be. Because it was immediately overshadowed by its sequel or its successor, and to that end, it's like, well, what do we do from here? And so why are we going to bother porting it? And it's not going to. We could probably get this one cheaper than you can get Battle for Bikini Bottom because there's less interest in it among players. So check it out. You can get it wherever you buy your local games to this day. It is included in your, you know, you can get it. What's it called? It's not hard to, you know, not hard to find, I don't think. Especially considering it was on, you know, GameCube and PlayStation and Xbox. But we will wrap up there for today. What game should we do next for the backlog files? I want to get back into the backlogginess of things. I can't remember that off the top of my head. We'll announce it in the next argument reviews, though. So, until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.